I'm Marianne Kobasek McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Stan Mirzwa, who is Director and Lecturer at the Center for Cybersecurity within Transformational Learning and External Affairs at Keene University in New Jersey. We're going to be discussing new research by Stan and his team regarding issues involving cyber incident reporting by nonprofit and non-governmental organizations and where the healthcare sector fits into this. So, Stan, for starters, tell us a bit about what your research examined involving nonprofit and non-government organizations and cyber incidents. What sorts of entities fit that description, and what did you find?
Yeah, thank you, Marianne. And so this effort began with, and it's student-driven, quite honestly. We get assigned students as a part of an internship program, which is very important to their academic background. And several students were assigned who were one more familiar with cybersecurity than the other, and both were interested in trying to find how they can connect and understand cybersecurity. You know, the students today certainly put a bit more focus on social causes in our society. And so we sat down to try to find some common ground. And the students thought with me there deciding, we thought about investigating nonprofit organizations and non-governmental organizations and trying to determine how much they're being attacked, cyber attacked, that is. And what are the reporting mechanisms? What are the breaches that have been reported? And so we started to first we had to do sort of a feasibility and understand whether there was a need for this. We thought, well, if there's data already available, we'll just use it. And the students began to do some light literature review, as did myself and other members of our center, using simple open source intelligence, right? You use the public web. And we didn't find a whole lot regarding a cyber attack information data, that is like real, you know, data that we can say, oh, there's been this number of attacks over the past several years, or within this specific year, or within this sector of nonprofits. So finding opportunities for students to engage in such experiential learning is really important to us, especially because of our National Security Agency Center of Academic Excellence designation. As part of that program, we are driven to include more competencies for students. So, getting them real opportunities to use tools, techniques, strategies, research to help them understand the role of the work roles of cybersecurity. So, we began with, like I said, a literature review. We then began to think about, well, what are the categories of organizations that we would like to use when we start to find data, and we started to find it pretty quickly. The data we started to find, we aligned with the CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, 16 critical sectors. We used that as a means of cataloging. So as we found information on the public web about attacks for the sector, we kept a whole number of fields. In fact, I've got the list of fields here. I'll just quickly mention them to you. It included everything, as I said, the CISA category, the organization, if it existed, the date, the year of the attack, if it was publicly available, the name of the nonprofit, if it was available, the country location, and whether it was multiple countries. We also wanted to understand whether it affected in cybersecurity. There's something called the CIA triad, whether attacks are breaches against confidentiality, integrity, or availability. And so we started to collect that, and students certainly became more aware of the different types of attacks. The location of the open source intelligence data that we found. So this was a, it started slow, and then all of a sudden we started to get many, many different records on these attacks. And within a short amount of time, let me also state before I go there, we did find a gap. There was a gap in historical data. We couldn't find anything that was really valuable. You know, there's lots of data on cyber attacks. For example, you know, I've got a little list here. There, you know, you can look at the Verizon data breach report. the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Report. You could look at a special nonprofit. There's the Council on Nonprofits, the Cyber Peace Institute. Many of them have information and data, but we didn't find anything specific to nonprofits that showed a historical log of attacks against them. And so that's what we began to do. And that's in essence what we started and reported on, and we're continuing to do that work as well.
So, Stan, you mentioned, the various reports, the Verizon report, so on and so forth. And we know also under HIPAA, regulated entities are required to report to federal regulators breaches involving protected health information within 60 days of discovery if the incident affects 500 or more individuals, and that includes hacking incidents. And then for smaller incidents affecting fewer than 500 individuals, regulated entities must also report these to HHS no later than 60 days after the end of the calendar year in which the breaches were discovered. With that said, what sorts of gaps are you seeing involving healthcare sector entities that also happen to be nonprofit or non-government organizations?
Great point. And if you look at the categories, the CISA categories, there isn't one specific to nonprofits. And I think that's sort of interesting because they could cross over into different sectors. The other thing I'll mention when it comes to healthcare facilities, there are certainly nonprofit entities. There are for-profit entities and government-owned healthcare organizations as well. When it comes to these smaller nonprofits, perhaps it's being reported, but that's not publicly available. So what we were looking at is anything in the open source intelligence areas, the web, excluding the dark web. For ethical reasons, we didn't want to touch anything in the dark web. In our initial set of data, we collected 168 cyber incidents. And of those, the majority, just over 50%, we aligned with the healthcare and public health CISA critical sector, and followed by the government facilities and financial services. So this is publicly available information we found, but we don't know whether these are actually then being reported into what, as you suggest, whether these regulating bodies. So knowing that for us, we wanted to provide some value to nonprofits and non-government organizations by giving them access to this. So the information that we've collected, as I said, publicly available, institutions can request researchers, or we've already gotten universities, we've already gotten public health researchers, we've gotten nonprofit leaders writing us and saying, "Would you please share that information with us?" We have a form that they could fill out. Because we want to get intelligence. We don't know what we don't know about our sector. So we think there's a need because these individuals are asking. These could be organizations. Some of the organizations are from outside the United States, and so they may not be regulated by our bodies. A lot of nonprofits may cross across or go across the globe. And so just by the fact that we've already gotten numerous requests for the data, we think there is some value in providing this. Now, for if I am a leader and I spent many years with a nonprofit organization founded by John D. Rockefeller III, having intelligence that's valuable to our sector, very specific sector, is helpful, right? If we could understand trends or whether there's an uptick in a particular year, or, in this case, within the nonprofit sector, if it's healthcare, where we've seen the greater number reporting, or at least made publicly available in the open source venue, then I think it's important that organizations can put their guard up a bit more and say, hey, compared to last year, there's an increase in attacks against nonprofit organizations aligned with public health. Maybe we need to do a little bit more to button up our defenses against such attacks.
So, Stan, why is it important to have a central repository of these sorts of reports involving cyber incidents involving nonprofit organizations and non-governmental organizations? And should this be, I know you've done, your research. Is this a repository that you're hoping to make available to researchers, or who do you suggest should sort of, own or manage such a repository? And Who would be the users? I know you mentioned there's organizations that have asked for this data. Are they consumers? Are they cyber experts? Are they criminal investigators, researchers? Who can use this data and how?
What we've seen so far from the requests, some are public health researchers or information technology researchers from higher education institutions. The others were nonprofit organizations, IT leaders. So those who are challenged with keeping their organization safe against attacks. That's what we've seen so far in the requests for the information. One of the things I want to make clear too, these nonprofits and non-government organizations typically try to meet unmet needs in communities. They often exist in many disadvantaged areas. That's where the majority of nonprofits tend to reside. And for example, in our state of New Jersey, health-related nonprofits have the largest budgets we've found and see of nonprofits. And so they're providing incredibly important services, critical services to underserved communities. So it's important that they keep their systems available, up and running, so that they can meet the needs of the community. And I think that's really important. That's how this connection between understanding cyber attacks with nonprofits and how it could affect those who are receiving services. So this sort of intelligence, I think, would add value to IT and organization leaders. You're talking everything from the CEO or the chief operating officer of such organizations. The other thing I want to mention is you make a good point. Where should this report? Who should be reporting this? And where to if you are a nonprofit? It's interesting. Just recently, we received a word about a potential grant with a policy lab. And we wish to propose to that policy lab some funding that we can actually research this a bit more and determine whether there should be some sort of policy for the nonprofit and non-government organization sectors regarding cyber so that it isn't muddy, right? It's not, so it isn't always, well, we don't apply to, as you said earlier, HIPAA, or we don't apply to these other critical infrastructure areas like energy or otherwise. Something that I think would allow other nonprofits to be able to use this intelligence so that they could protect themselves.
And Stan, what kind of information would you like to see nonprofit and non-government entities reporting about their cyber incidents? Is it, details of what happened, how many records were exposed, who was responsible? What sort of data would be most useful, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Marianne. And quite honestly, I think first of all, making it aware that and the time frame, right? If you're able to report that quickly, then organizations can take steps to try to defend against these sorts of attacks. Any information that would provide the sort of the surface area that was attacked, that would help an organization to understand what they should be doing. Oftentimes, you'll see ways of classifying attacks, whether it was some specific malware, right? If you do have details of the particular malware and what its attack vectors were, I think that would be valuable. That's a little bit more than we actually gathered. We didn't gather that because we were looking at the open source area, and some of that information was available, but generally not, because this would be in the trade press, maybe in newspapers. It could be the nonprofit itself reporting it. So I think there would be some value in having a good taxonomy, a strategy. And I think great point, because as we consider this potential policy, we might be able to incorporate what would be critical or research what would be most needed. And perhaps a survey, honestly, to the nonprofit and non-governmental area about what information would be helpful to nonprofits to help defend against attacks.
And finally, Stan, in the bigger picture, what top cyber issues in the healthcare sector are you watching for the year ahead and why?
It's that time of year where we try to foresee the future. I was listening to a news report yesterday about the stock market, and there are those experts out there trying to predict what the stock market will do next year. I think it's very hard to tell from any specific sector. But one thing I will say is that, and I often say this to students, stay on top of the news, especially as you enter your whatever work role and sector of business or organization you join, whether it's, energy, transportation, communications, information technology, healthcare. Stay attuned to the news. And individuals today are getting their news from various sources, but stay focused on. I usually give a one assignment on a current events research paper where students can look up something regarding cyber attacks that they're interested in a particular industry. But that activity is to keep them aware that intelligence is out there, and by knowing and being aware of that sort of intelligence, you can actually then consider whether there would be potential motives to attack a type of nonprofit organization. And so I think it'll depend on what, where motives arise. It could be in it, it could change routinely. Just a few years ago, we were talking about motives, and I think it was maybe with you on one of these talks. Motives as a result of the Ukraine-Russian conflict, right? There were motives for some certain organizations to be careful. Today, with we just, over the last several weeks, certain news reports of certain types of activities, you need to be concerned. Here in New Jersey, there's lots of talk right now about drones flying above us. And so trying to understand what these are, these activities, but also what the motives are is incredible. And staying, I think that it's hard to predict the future. I'm not going to even try to predict the future, but stay on top of current events, I think, will help us determine what steps we need to take in our organizations to defend against such attacks.
Well, thank you so much, Stan. Always a pleasure. I've been speaking to Stan Mirzwa. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.